Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Glad that you are hanging out here with me. I am Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock. It is a Built for Tough Bears Monday. Brought to you by the Built for Tough F-150, official truck of the Chicago Bears. Get this, though. The Cubs scored 47 runs this week. We need to take just a minor departure into talking about them putting themselves squarely back into the National League Central race, a couple of injury updates, and why Chris Bryant is playing like a god over the last five games. To do that, we bring in our buddy, Zach Zaidman. Zach Zaidman joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. 500 new and used vehicles for you at Alpamonte Ford. Hello, Double Z.
Cubs played some football this weekend. They scored at least two touchdowns in every game against the Pirates.
Yeah, it was from Friday. You could tell that the wind was blowing out and that it was going to be a party over there. And early on, you're sitting there going, oh, man, John Lester looks bad. And then the Cubs bats just exploded, and it just never stopped all weekend long.
No, the 47 runs, the most in a three-game set in the modern era for the Cubs. They did score 48 runs in a three-game series back in 1894, also against Pittsburgh. But, you know, I want to correct you there because you were talking about the wind blowing out. And, yeah, it was. But anyone who watched the games, very few of the Cubs' home runs, and they hit a ton of them, but very few of them were wind-aided. I mean, they were shots against the Pirates, and it was impressive to watch. But with that being said, once again, the Cubs have a major injury to a major player, and that's the reason that the 2019 regular season has been such a roller coaster ride, in my opinion.
Last week, you have Javier Baez go out, and it looks like he's going to be gone for the remainder of the season. Anthony Rizzo turns his ankle yesterday. What's the latest that you're hearing?
We'll find out today, depending on the MRI results. He's undergoing the MRI today. The x-ray showed no fracture, which is the most encouraging sign, because if it was broken, his season would be over. And unlike Baez, who could potentially come back if the Cubs indeed make the postseason, you know, if you break your ankle with 13 games to go in the regular season, Rizzo would have been done. So I think that gives them a little bit of hope. But, you know, we'll see how long it is. He's as tough of a player as the Cubs have in that clubhouse. He's as close to a guy that's got the football mentality, if you will, as anyone that wears the Cubs uniform. So we wait and see for those MRI results.
My hope is that it's just a real bad turn. He can tape it up and return in a couple days with some ice and stem. But it did take a chunk out of the Wrigley Field turf, and it looked really scary. But you know how those – we cover a lot of football when some of that stuff happens, where guys will turn their ankle and they'll be like, ah, you know, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. Basketball too. And then maybe when you get a little bit of space from it, you're like, okay, I'm all right. Like, everything's okay. Like, maybe the ligaments are a little spread out, but I'm all right and I can be back. And hopefully Rizzo can be back for the Cubs.
Yeah, hopefully. But there's a reason that Wrigley went silent. It was an eerie sound in the top half of the third when Rizzo went down. And you don't normally experience that at Wrigley with a sellout crowd and just that hush. And it took the Cubs. I think it impacted Jose Quintana in the top half of the third because the Pirates were able to rally. They scored five times in that inning. And they were shell-shocked a little bit until the Cubs responded with that championship DNA in the bottom half of the third with five runs of their own, Chris Bryant spearheading things. And it's interesting, you know, in my brief time covering the Cubs, what you learn is Chris Bryant, obviously the best player in that clubhouse. Javier Baez is the most exciting. You know, maybe Jason Hayward is the voice of that clubhouse. Ben Zobrist, the conscience. John Lester is the grit. But the heart and soul is Anthony Rizzo. And I think that's why it took a brief moment there in that top half of the third for the Cubs to recover.
I'm glad that you brought up Chris Bryant because I made the observation earlier in the show that his great is different. I can't quantify it, Zach, but when he's great, it's as if he can lift the team to places that it doesn't ordinarily go. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Castellanos or Javi Baez or even Anthony Rizzo. But when that guy's locked in like he's been for the last 5 days, the Cubs' offense looks different.
The best way to put it is this. Anytime Chris Bryant has been healthy in his Cubs career, he has been a legit superstar. We often misuse that word. He is a legit superstar, as good as the top players in baseball when he's right. And the only time that the numbers have not been where you want them to be is when he hasn't been healthy. And that was last season with the shoulder, which impacted his swing and took away his power. And for the majority of the second half of this season, his knee has been bugging him. And that's why it's ridiculous sometimes when you hear people call him soft. Just because a player doesn't talk about what's been bothering him doesn't mean that there isn't an ailment that he's dealing with. And it is very clear that ever since he got the cortisone shot last Sunday in Milwaukee, he's played six games since then. He's 11 for 22, a .500 batting average with five home runs and 13 RBIs. When he's right, he's the type of player that can lift an entire team by himself. And that's what he's trying to do right now. Now, granted, it was Pittsburgh. Granted, it was San Diego when he came back. You know, and there's a little bit of a bigger test with Reds. And I say that because the Cubs are 7-9 against Cincinnati this season, and they've been outscored 81-73. But again, you have to find a way. And I think it's money time right now. And during times when you have to win, you need the best players on your team that are healthy to step up. Bryant is certainly doing that.
What was the vibe like in that clubhouse over the last 3 days with all those runs being scored?
Well, I think that it's a confident bunch because they know that they're good enough. They for the most part, they believe that they were. This is prior to the Rizzo injury, obviously. They believe that they have enough talent to do what they need to do. And they're not just thinking wild card. I think, you know, we spent a lot of time over the last few weeks kind of talking about where the Cubs stand in terms of the National League wild card. But they know that if they put themselves within striking distance, and that's what they've done over the last few days, they're now just two games behind first place St. Louis in the National League Central, and you got seven games coming up over the next 13 against the Cardinals. You know, there's an opportunity here to get that division as long as you continue to play baseball the right way. And for them, baseball the right way means maximizing things offensively, and to do that. Now, it's unrealistic to expect them to score at least 14 runs every game the rest of the way, but the approach isn't unrealistic. And when I say that, what I mean is work the zone. And you've heard Joe Maddon preach every time he's on with you every single week. What does Joe Maddon preach about his baseball team? About being stubborn to your zone as a hitter and making the pitcher work to you, not the other way around, where you're not chasing, where you go deep in counts, you make that pitcher work, you force him to throw a pitch which is more beneficial to you as a hitter than the other way around. And the Cubs have done that over the last few games.
What'd you think about what the Bears did yesterday? Did you have a chance to even watch it?
I watched the tail end. You know, I was a little busy yeah. for the early portion of it. And these baseball games are not short. But I think it went exactly the way I thought it would go in terms of a tight battle. And that's just because of the respect that I have for Vic Fangio and knowing every single way that Matt Nagy is going to deploy the weapons that he has on his offense against the kind of defense that, Vic Fangio plays. But that was gutsy. I think there were a couple of things at the end, as crazy of a finish as you'll ever see, just because, you know, the seesaw craziness at the end there. But a huge kick at the end and a huge play by Trubisky to find Robinson and have the presence of mind to quickly call timeout. All they needed was 1 second and it worked, because 0-2 would have been dreadful. Now they can pick themselves up and start to plan the rest of the way in this season. It's not going to be easy in that NFC North.
Zach, I appreciate your time and your coverage of the Cubs. We'll be looking forward to it tonight, 6:30 pregame, as the Cubs get ready to take on the Reds over at Wrigley Field. Thank you, sir.
Cole Hamels, by the way, 11-2 in 19 career starts against the Reds with a 2.21 ERA. They need that kind of impact. He struggled of late, a 7.58 ERA since the oblique strain.
Agreed 100%. That is Zach Zabeman. He hosts the pre- and post-game show of Cubs baseball here on The Score. Cubs, the bats were out, man. The wind was blowing out, and the bats took. But let's talk about some of the numbers. Some of the numbers that are encouraging from an offensive standpoint, and hopefully they don't have the power turned out tonight, but he's right about Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant, over the last seven games, hitting .440 with a .500 on-base percentage and slugging .140 and an OPS of .1540, if I can do right with math. Five homers, 13 RBIs for him. Since he got that quarter zone shot, he's been hitting well. Castellanos, I looked this up Friday, and then I looked it up this morning. Castellanos Wrigley Field splits are unbelievable. At Wrigley Field this year, and it's not like a small sample now. It's 20 games. Castellanos has played 20 games at Wrigley Field. Tony, what would you guess Castellanos' batting average at Wrigley Field is? 20 games.
.500.
Pretty close. .417.
I was trying to do the radio thing where I go.
Were
like
you went
above.
Crazy
yeah.
above? Yeah,
crazy.
.417. He's got an on base percentage of .432, and he's slugging .821 at Wrigley Field in 20 games. 13 doubles for him at Wrigley in 20 games. 7 home runs and 23 RBIs at Wrigley Field. He's not the only one. Kyle Schwarber's starting to hit now. Schwarber, since July 13th, an on-base plus slugging of 1,000. But I'm telling you, when Bryant is the catalyst, man, they look different. When he's right, they look different.
I'm all about the bum slang.
I'm all about it. Well, I don't know if you can technically call the Reds a bum, and that's who they've got next, because they've been better than the Cubs when they face each other head-to-head. Let's get back into the Bears locker room for a second, because I ran across something last night that brought me extreme joy. And that joy was Khalil Mack being so tired that he was just like, I'm going to keep cussing. I enjoyed the bleep out of this.
I don't care how you get these W's, man. They hard to come by, but yeah, it was a great win. I'll take it.
How many times were you held today?
Oh, man. Who knows? I look back at the film. But at the same time, man, I'm just glad we got a W.
How deflating was that, getting that touchdown late?
And it kind of reminded me of something similar. But at the end of the day, man, you do everything you can to put offense in great positions. And I was just happy as hell that they hit that throw over the middle, and Allen and A-Rob knew to get down quick. Yeah, so, yeah. And that's the thing Coach Nagy coaches up on all week long for the past year. Situational football, understanding that, you know, credit to him, because that was a hell of a series right there.
Were you worried he was not down, A-Rob?
Oh, man, when you think about it, man, you go through those, you see situations throughout the league, you know what I mean? And Coach Nagy, he's great at pulling up those scenarios and showing us different things around the league, just in case we were in those situations. And it just so happened that it happened today.
We heard you guys watched the end of the Saints game.
Yeah, exactly.
So kind of, were you thinking a little similarly?
Exactly. 10 is a got ice in his veins, man, and he was able to step in there and throw that ball.
Do you have any sense of times like felt like it was Miami a little bit? from last year? Was it?
It was a little high scoring game, but at the same time, the same token, man, kudos to that team, man. They're doing a lot of great things. Coach Vic, hell of a coach, and yeah.
What do you think of Kyle's interception there?
He know how to make plays, man. He's a baller, man. He's one of the best in the league, and you've seen it on that play. But all in all, man, there's different things. There's different things we all got to do to be in better positions to finish those games and win. And we won, and I take it.
You know what it means going down, you know, being an 0-2 hole.
Yeah, I know about that.
You're literally like a tenth of a second away from being 0-2.
Exactly. We ain't worried about it now.
How massive is what happened at the end there?
Man, you think about everything that happened, all the games last year that were kind of like close, you know what I mean? Especially that playoff game. And you put that pressure on that guy, Eddie P, you know what I'm saying, birthday man. And he came out and nailed that. That's how you want to play ball, man. Kudos to everybody else. So I'm sticking in there and believing. And glad to get the win and get the hell up out of here.
In your contract, you probably got a nice seat on the plane, right? You're giving it to Eddie on the way home.
I don't even know if I got a nice plane seat, to be real with you. But he can sit in that he wanted.
There are not a lot of people that I would accept that press conference from. But I'm going to accept it. I'm going to make an exception for Khalil Mack.
Is anybody going to tell him different?
Well, right. First of all, there's sometimes, though, Tony, that in a locker room, guys will start cussing because they'd be like, oh, well, that'll be the end of the press conference. Like the reporters will be, they'll clutch their pearls and they'll walk away. Not me. You keep on cussing. We got audio equipment. We can beep all this stuff out. I just think that it's funny because of his demeanor. Like, his natural demeanor is so, like, super laid back that if he wants to be on the porch with us and start cussing, it's a window into how Khalil Mack talks when he's not in front of microphones. And I am all for it.
And when you're, like, top two in the world at what you do, you can pretty much kind of say whatever you want.
I agree that you can, and he did. And I was laughing my beep off when I saw it yesterday. It was a lot of fun, and I just thought that I would share it. So we shared it, and I hope you enjoyed it. Khalil Mack acting as if he is in a Quentin Tarantino movie. Good for him. Beep. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Eddie P, the bad mother beep that Khalil Mack was talking about. I'm going to let you hear from Eddie, because Eddie has some thoughts too. We'll share that next. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to
Selling a Little or a Lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The score
came out and nailed it.
Yes, Eddie Pinheiro did nail that bleep yesterday from 53 yards away, and the Bears were able to win the game 16-14 on the road. In some cases, in spite of themselves, they were able to do that. Tony, did you see the clutch the pearls text that came through?
Oh, yeah, people, like, come on. We live in the real world. Like, how many movies out there with a bunch of swear words in? Like, come on.
Here's the thing. The words were beeped out. Like, we did the thing that if you're worried about the children, you know where the children are right now? In school. And if they're listening on the podcast, thank you. I appreciate you boosting the numbers. But it was bleeped out just for that reason. Think of the kids. I can't believe a grown man, after being exhausted, might say 4 and 12-letter words.
He's not a role model.
Yeah. Because that's the key. I'm all for it. For him. I'm not saying that every bear has a blanket excuse to just drop F and M bombs all the time. But if Khalil Mack wants to do it, I'm here for it. I'm here for it every week. If he gives us, Tony, mark it down. If Khalil Mack gives us that type of press conference every week, I want that press conference to be played every single week.
Got it.
All right, mark that down. Can we, like, make a request? Can I throw in cuss words that I would like for him to say? Hey, Khalil, you used MF a lot last week. Can you use S this week? That would be great. But I like that he went for it, because that's usually the word that people don't go for. Even if they know it's going to get bleeped. Even if they know it's expletive deleted, like in the printed version. I'm here for it.
I worry about that kid. Whose parent is that?
Well, you know, they probably had the day off today and they were going to the dentist, and then they heard Khalil Mack get beeped. They even hear the real words. I like it. Yes, Campy?
Does every day count as off when you're homeschooled?
That's true. But are they being homeschooled and listening to this show at the same time? Because that also seems like a terrible idea.
Well,
I mean, that's terrible. Like, if you're having your class and then you're also allowing your youngster to listen to a station that's clearly aimed at adults. That's. And it was like, here's my thing about I'll read the text for you. Let me read it verbatim so you don't think I just created a straw man here. Where is it? Here it is. 260 texter. Nice, in quotes, role model for any kids that may have heard him spew that filthy filth. He didn't spew any filth because you didn't hear it.
If your kid is old enough to know that those words were bad, or to decipher through the beep what those words are, they're saying a lot more times than Khalil Mack just did at school.
Of course they are. They're saying them. They're saying them when you leave the room.
They're writing them.
Yeah, they're doing graffiti, and then the graffiti, it leads to marijuana abuse, and then this is your brain on drugs.
That's science.
It's totally science. This is an egg, and now there's an egg and a in a pan and drugs.
It's kind of hard to take those. They still run those like that. And then like the fish flopping around for like kids with asthma. And it's hard to take them seriously now because they're all so old and like pixelated.
Well, here's a fun little musical note. And I know that this probably predates Tony a little bit, but you know, the Busta Rhymes song, "This Is Serious. We Can Make You Deli-." That's a PSA. For opioids in the 80s in New York. Campy, see if you can find it. All right? Because it's like these pills that came out, and they're like, "This is serious. We can make you delirious. You should have a healthy fear of us. Too much of us is dangerous." And then it became a hook for a Busta Rhymes song. I so want Campy to find that before we're done at 2 o'clock so people know I'm not lying. Or maybe I was on drugs and I just saw that in my dreams. But Busta Rhymes pulled that from a drug PSA back in the day.
Somebody said, texted in, "A real life Ned Flanders, huh?"
Apparently. I mean, look, I get it. You don't want your sensitive ears to hear cuss words, but you didn't hear any cuss words. That's the part. Like, we took the steps to make sure that the innocent wouldn't hear the word. That was our obligation, and we failed it. All right, let's get back on the field and inside the locker room. I don't think Eddie curses in this, but I...
No, actually the opposite. Thanks God.
Yeah, he's going to give you... I don't know if it's a different point of view than... I feel like Khalil Mack is a God-fearing man. But yesterday, Eddie Pinheiro is put in a big spot. He made a 40-yard kick, a 52-yard kick, and then the game winner, which was 53 yards. After the game, since he made such a big kick, they brought him to the podium.
Well, I was just hitting some kicks into the net. Coach Tabor was just telling me, hey, get an easy swing in, this and that. I go, Coach, I got you. This one's for you, this and that. And just went out there and just hit my kick, you know? So.
Eddie, how do you describe the adrenaline rush of the last 5 minutes and everything you've experienced?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I could say is, I mean, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you better start because he's real. And that's like the biggest, that's the biggest thing I can say. He's real, so.
Why did you say Tabor, this is for you?
From all the things he's been through and the coaching staff's been through and the whole kicking situation, and it was pretty cool. So, I mean, it means everything. I mean, I've been working my butt off, all the stuff that I've been through, the Augusta silence, kickers getting cut left and right, and all the crazy things going on. It was a pretty cool moment to have this opportunity, and scales freaking snapping on point, Pat's holds on point. I mean, the whole operation was clean. So,
did you guys say anything to each other as you came out there for the last
game? Like running on to the kick?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember talking to Pat, and Pat's like, I mean, we always visualize, all right, Eddie, you know, where are you going to play this? So I'm going to play it a little bit right because the wind's going a little left. And we do it like a little game plan, and then we try to execute it. So,
how do you think everything you went through, you know, including the Augusta Silence?
Yeah. I think it's prepared me. I mean, like I said, all the crap that I've been through and all the stuff for the whole kicking situation and what happened last year and stuff. But, I mean, yeah. So.
Hey, what do you do to calm your nerves or calm yourself and make sure you're sane?
Good question. I mean, like I, you know, running out to that kick, just doing some drive swings and hitting some balls into the net and then setting a prayer and then just leaving it in his hands. And if it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen. So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I felt confident. I felt pretty confident.
As the game was ensuing, as it was going on, developing, how much did you find yourself kind of hoping that it would go the way it did?
Yeah.
Set up for you.
I was talking to Pat on the sideline. I'm like, man, I hope I get this shot. Like, I've been practicing, you know, my whole life for this and all the stuff that I've been through. Like, I was praying, God, give me this shot. Give me this shot to win the game. And thank God it happened. So.
There's Eddie Pinheiro saying that he wanted the opportunity, that he was ready for the opportunity, that he wasn't too freaked out by the moment, and that he wanted to give it a chance to win, and also professing his faith. Let me just say this about the professing of faith. I'd like to go back to another Bears kicker who is also a pious man in Cody Parkey. One of the things that I really appreciated about the Cody Parkey thing, and it's small, but after he missed, you remember what happened? He gave thanks. He gave thanks to God. So my thing is, as long as you're consistent with it in public, like if you believe that Jesus put you in that position to win the game yesterday, if it turns around at some point, make sure that you still have faith and go, that's why you were put in that position for another reason later on. Like I honestly, as someone who struggles with faith, I honestly really appreciated Cody Parkey still being pious in the moment. All right, enough religion. Now, back to the football of it. I hope that the Bears have found their guy for the near future, kicking the ball. I hope that they found it. I do like that he projects confidence, comes off as right underneath cocky. Because I think that you need that for that position. You have to be careful because sometimes being confident and cocky and loud will get you cut by an insecure coach, John Fox. Sometimes at that position, when you're a kicker and you say stuff and you have a personality, it can get you cut by people who are insecure, Robbie Gould. But I was happy to see Eddie come through in that moment. And my hope is that it gives the Bears more faith to give him an opportunity in maybe a situation where they maybe didn't think they would. All right?
Yeah, because I'm done talking about kickers, man.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm done. I just want to just not think about it.
But you needed the kicker. The kicker's outscored the offense so far this year. By a lot. So.
What if that's his, like, go-to? Like, if somebody has a smart remark on the offense to him, he's like, I got more points than all of you.
All y'all. I have all the points. I'm running this.
I only talk to Khalil.
Right. The only person who can talk to me is that mother bleep over there. If I'm Eddie Pinheiro. Can you imagine, like, what if, like, here's a scenario, like, Mitch is like, hey, you know, maybe you need to, hey, don't you say nothing. Until you get yourself into the end zone again, don't you say nothing. I got more points than you, fam. 10? Ice water in your veins?
Let me say his name, 10.
Yeah, he only gets 10. Eddie could be like, do you know what would have happened to you if I would have missed that kick in Denver? Wouldn't nobody been mad at me? That was a 53-yarder. They'd have been mad at you. I run this piece.
Get in the back of the plane, fam. This is my seat.
10 have to sit in the back?
Come on, 10. You already know what it is.
Campy, were you able to find that PSA? All right. I'll find it during the break, and we'll share it because it's hilarious. I just got a text like, hey, I learned something. Yeah. Drugs are bad. Drugs are bad. Remember that one with Penny? No one remembers Penny with her eyes were pennies. Did I watch too much television as a kid? Probably. Back after this on The Score. Speaking of Northwestern, the bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Michigan State on Saturday at 11 a.m. I don't know if you saw the Michigan State-Arizona State game, but man, that ending was wild, even though it was a super low-scoring game. You can go see them take on Northwestern this weekend. Tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. So, the crew found the PSA. Now, look, it's a little grainy because it's from the 80s. But basically, here's the setup to it. And I have a couple more Bears thoughts before I get out of here. But here's the setup to it. The idea is that kids were taking prescription pills from their parents or grandparents and trying them. And so the PSA was telling you that the pills were dangerous. And then it ended up being a chorus for Busta Rhymes later on. Hit it, Tony!
Hey, what are we doing out of the bottle? This is dangerous. A little kid might come along and think we were candy. That would be awful because we're medicine. He might even eat us. No.
And it's little pills that are singing this. It's so crazy. Like, to me, it's almost more psychedelic that the pills are singing. Like, wouldn't that make you, I feel like that makes you want to try them.
Yeah, somebody shouldn't tell Zendaya.
Wow. By the way, you were supposed to produce a Euphoria podcast.
Yeah. But like, I still want to do it, you know, but. Like getting it together. Like people are going on vacation. Like if everybody's back and can do it, then
Sierra said that she would do the podcast and she told us that she was Rue.
She went on like two vacations.
I mean, she's allowed to have a life.
But, all right, I gotta wait till she settled in and got back.
All right. I'm just saying. If you haven't checked out Euphoria, you should. It was an incredible season of television. Just tell you that. All right. Back to a couple more Bears thoughts before we talk with McNeil and Parkins, who are coming up in just a little bit. And since it's about time for McNeil and Parkins, it's also about time that you get yourself an amazing mortgage rate with your own personal Lakeside mortgage banker, Lakeside Bank. It's about time. I really was impressed, and I was talking about it earlier, with the in-game coaching by Matt Nagy in this one. Even though that there were still some issues, like I heard texters when we played the Matt Nagy earlier, he was saying that there weren't any pre-snap penalties. And you're right to go, well, wait a minute, you had 12 men in the huddle. That's a pre-snap penalty. I think he meant that there were no false starts or illegal formations, but having 12 people in the huddle at one of the biggest moments in the game is also not good. And there were a couple of holding penalties against Charles Leno yesterday. That tackle from Denver is awful. And I know that Mark Schlereth was just giving him a rough ride yesterday. And I guess Olin told me this, that Schlereth on his podcast has just been killing that kid. And then to have him play like that, where every time you could have called holding on him on every pass play. But if you're the officials, can you actually call holding on every pass play?
I would if I was an official. I just would keep calling it.
But you can call it on anybody. You can call it on any play.
I mean, he was obvious with his, though.
Extremely blatant. I mean, at one point, I think he tried a choke hold to try and stop Khalil Mack. It was really bad.
It was like watching a child trying to stop, you know, Khalil Mack. It got sad after a while, you know?
I enjoyed the play where they're like, oh, where Flacco audibles, okay? He changes the protection, and they had their tight end one-on-one against Mack. And what happened? He sacks the quarterback.
You know where that tackle was drafted?
He was a first-rounder, right?
Mm-hmm. They took him as an old first-rounder because I believe he took time to do a Mormon mission. Because they thought he was plug and play.
He is not.
No.
No, I don't even know if I think that he probably projects as a developmental swing tackle, if anything. Yeah. Campy, you threw some stats on the screen. I want to give you credit. What numbers should Bears fans be concerned about?
The most recent one, I saw this from Steve Palazzolo of PFF. Highest percent of uncatchable passes through the first 2 weeks. Cam Newton runs away with it with 34.2% of his passes, but they kind of reworked his motion, and there's a lot going on there with shoulder injury. So, you know, that one makes a little bit of sense. The next highest, Mitch Trubisky, 27.8% of his passes are uncatchable. That's higher than Fitzmagic,
who keeps throwing the ball to the other team.
Yep.
If you're Josh Rosen, are you just like, man, my career is over?
Well, I mean, like, now I got hurt.
I got no chance. Like, I'll never have a real chance with a real coach or a real team.
Pretty much.
Never.
Unless he's backing up somewhere and the starter gets hurt.
And he has to then ball out.
Mm-hmm.
But in the NFL now, you can get your chance. Because almost every starter is hurt now. Roethlisberger's out for the year, right? Drew Brees. Yep. Probably out for a significant period of time, too.
Said 6 to 8 weeks at least.
Man.
Bears are probably going to avoid him.
I thought about that. I thought about Teddy Bridgewater. And I'm sure Teddy was like, I'm going to just hang out here for a couple of years, become a free agent, and make all that money. And now it's, nuh-uh. You got to earn that money now by playing. We'll talk McNeil and Parkins next here on The Score.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Pizza.
Well, we made it through a built for tough Bears Monday after a Bears win 16-14. And the built for tough Bears Monday continues. Thanks, by the way, to Rick Camp for his diligent work. He's quite the studier. He goes and finds all the fun statistics. And to Tony, who was having all sorts of issues this morning and pulled himself together and put together quite the show. Now it's time for McNeil and Parkins. They will be taking you up until 6 o'clock today. Hello, gentlemen.
What's up, Lawrence?
Do you smell that?
Is that chicken?
That's victory chicken, not just chicken, the best kind of chicken.
I forgot about victory chicken.
The chicken that comes the day after our local heroes deliver the knockout punch.
From Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab.
Wait, they make chicken?
Chicken.
Oh, it's the hidden gem of the menu. Fried.
I had no idea.
The fried chicken at Joe's. It's amazing. Yeah, there's also a key lime pie out there that you can help yourself to. Plenty of chicken.
No.
If you are interested.
Devil is a lie.
But, yeah, man, Joe's is the spot, and they have partnered up once again with the Mac and Parkin show, Victory Chicken. So we thank them very much.
How many more Victory Chickens will we enjoy this year?
7.5. I don't know, man.
Are they going to tie?
Yeah, it's just... Was that before we do any analysis, did anyone enjoy that game?
No.
Was there anything enjoyable about that?
No. I started laughing at Schlereth after a while, but no, you had to really search for things to enjoy, even though the last 4.5 minutes were about as frenetic as it ever gets.
Yep.
Both teams trying to gift it to the other.
Well, I was laughing at Schlereth just destroying Bowles, just tearing
him apart. He gave him a pretty good beatdown.
Well, he deserved it. I mean, that guy was holding
that
on
guy's
every
hands
play.
Had to be so sore last night. You get your hands up underneath the guy's pads all day, that'll sting you a little bit.
But yes, it was one of those games where you're sitting there going, there's no way that the Bears lose this game. Until the moment where you go, they might lose this game.
This is where they lose it.
Really late. I didn't even entertain the possibility of them losing it from minute 2 until minute 57.
Well, and it's funny because at minute 57 is where you started to see the Bears defense and you're like, the altitude and the heat actually did catch up.
They're out there all day, and they looked like they were out there all day because they had 20 more snaps than the offense
76
did,
plays.
They were tired, and Flacco dropped back at least 50 times yesterday. That'll gas a unit as it did. So they got to hang on for dear life. Well, the Bears, it looks like now they have 2 of the 3 components necessary to be a championship-caliber team. They have a great defense. I think we can now say the kicking issue solved, right? The special teams gave up a little bit much on that last return, but special teams been pretty good. Now all we're missing is the quarterback.
I'm not ready to say solved. I will say that I'm
improved.
Improved. Okay. I'm not as panicked about their kicking situation as I was before the first 2 games of the season.
Yeah.
I hope that it's solved.
I hope that it's solved, too. I think it's answered. I will be surprised if Eddie Pinheiro is not their kicker all year. How well he performs, I don't know. And if he's on the team for another 3 games, you've got to give up that conditional 7th-round pick to the Raiders for him. I'm pretty sure that kick earns him at least 3 more games. And then if he's there that long, it's probably got to be a disaster for them to move on in season. But as Olin pointed out on Twitter, the kid from Florida who made the long kick in Denver in the warmth, I still got to see him kick in November and December at Soldier Field.
Correct.
I do think there is still a big question about him at home games. They weren't even willing to attempt a 50-yarder last week in perfect conditions.
Which I have a feeling they'll need some long field goals again the rest
exactly.
A few more times. That won't be the last time out for that.
I feel as if what the win does for Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky is it buys them time. Had they lost this game, it just would have been awful that all of the warts of the offense would be spoken about. The win allows them to keep tethered to Green Bay in the division, with them being 2-0 and the Bears being 1-1, and it buys them time. Like the game against Washington, they're better than Washington. It buys you time where you can still incrementally improve from game to game. That if Nagy, if what we're seeing is the head coach of the Bears basically use the first 3 or 4 games as a preseason instead of putting his players at risk in games that don't count, putting them at risk, but maybe understanding that there could be rust and bad play early on, then they've bought themselves time. Let's see what they do with the time.
It's just that's a huge gamble in the NFL where the margin, I always say, between the 3rd best team and the 23rd best team is a bounce of a football. You know, this is not a league where there's huge discrepancies between good and below average. I looked at that game and said, there's 2 conversations that we have to have today. One is, they deserve praise for saving their season. Like, that is a season-saving win. You got about an 88% chance to miss the playoffs if you start 0-2. So Fangio, the road, Denver, altitude, like, that's a good win any way you get it. But, yo, that other conversation is what they needed to do in hiding their quarterback in order to be ensure that they got it. And that is just, if you go big picture, that's just downright alarming.
The 3rd and 8 swing pass to Allen Robinson, which was pretty much a give up and punt play.
Well, all of it. Like, they just, normally the media and fans on Twitter don't get it as right as we did after week 1. Just, oh, got to go away from RPOs, got to go straight handoffs, got to take the ball out of Mitch's hands, got to be conservative, like all of that stuff. That was what that was. They went from barely giving David Montgomery the ball to giving him 18 carries.
So we got what we wanted.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But like the fact that Nagy was willing to bend and shift that quickly away from what he wants to do and from his quarterback, to me, is alarming. Like, they did what they needed to do to win. But, man, you don't want to be winning that way in 2019. It's not sustainable.
But that's my point. That's what I'm saying, Danny, that you just had to win the next game. And you'll start to build back what you were trying to build to see. But you have a championship defense. You have to keep them in games.
They're supposed to be beyond this, though. You're right.
Like, I agree.
They're just it's just so alarming that they're conceding after one game that wasn't rust and a good Packer defense.
But that's the other part of it. We can't look at the 2019 season in a vacuum. If you go back to after Mitch got hurt, they've averaged 16 points a game.
Yeah.
Thrown in the game against Philadelphia. So it's not for as far as Nagy's concerned, it's not just the one game. It's him looking at the mosaic of, oh my goodness, the quarterback hasn't been great and our offense hasn't been great for 6 or 7 games now. That to me is alarming on a lot of fronts.
Oh, I agree. It's very concerning. I just thought, I think like many people did, that looking at it with 7 games, there was 7 months in between there where he was supposed to improve and get more comfortable with the offense.
But you can't, though, if you're not in danger. I know the guys, we had a great mini camp. If the quarterback is not in peril, it's hard for me to believe that they can get better. That the reps that they talk about, well, you know, we're doing a lot of mental reps. We're taking these practice reps. We're going up against the number 1 defense in the NFL. Sure. But when Khalil Mack gets to you, he's not going to hit you. And that changes the timing. And that changes the way that you look at a game. So for me, I wasn't buying Mitch is definitely ready to take the step from 101 to 202 because he was never, ever in peril. And where the real learning will take place is him playing in actual games.
We'll see how long it takes. He should be better than this.
There were a few times yesterday where he did, and I didn't see it against the Packers, and this was one of my biggest complaints about Trubisky last year, and I was hoping to see him rectified, and a couple of occasions yesterday he did. One of them, Lawrence, you alluded to the play in the first quarter where he scrambled, extended the play, and then found Tariq Cohen fairly deep on a slant, and just overshot him a touch, but that's extending the play right up into the line of scrimmage, and he did again in the fourth quarter. So those were two occasions where I'm putting a gold star on the bulletin board for the Bears quarterback, but there weren't a lot of them yesterday. Sure weren't a lot of them.
I think that he's got some gunslinger in him. I think, and Anthony and I were working through this a little bit when we talked. He's one of those guys that, what he has proven throughout his career, even under John Fox, that when there's money on the table and he can just play ball, he's all right. Like, he handles those moments pretty well when he's undercoached. When it's, Mitch, go win us the game. Go win us the game. Do what you got to do. We're not going to overcall this. But in when it's the, well, he's got to go through this progression and this progression, I think he struggles. So at least he's got the thing of not wilting under pressure, not wilting when the moment is big, at least from an in-game standpoint, when he can just freelance a little bit. But that's not why you moved up in the draft.
Well, I mean,
he didn't move up in the draft for a gunslinger.
Yeah. Well, his nickname was Favre. I mean, like, his nickname in high school was Favre. He had the moniker license plate and the whole thing. Like, so yeah, he definitely has some gunslinger in him. I am just shocked at how much they feel like they have to hide him, because so much of this offense is institutional knowledge of it and just your understanding of the timing. And the smartest quarterback in the league, Alex Smith, it took him years to get comfortable in Andy Reid's system. He was a totally different player in year four of the system than he was in year one. And he had already been in the league 9 years by the time, or 8 years by the time he got to Kansas City. So, like, I do think a huge part of it is mental, and he's not progressing. He looks the same.
Did that feel like the Bears ran for 5.3 yards per carry yesterday?
Well, it's
to you guys
with the Patterson run, it skews it. But I'll quote Olin again. Olin talks about this, and it's funny because I heard Nagy say the same thing. It's body blows. Look, you got to keep punching the other team in the face.
I'm all for it.
You're going to have runs of 2, 3, yeah, -1.
You live with it.
You're also going to have 14-yard runs and 8-yard runs, yeah, and 46-yard runs.
And it keeps your defense off the field. You need to do that as much as you possibly can in a pointsless offense.
You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, radio.com sports station. We've got Boomer Esiason at 3, Mark Grody at 4, Tanny's Audio Magic, and we'll be working through this thing all day, man.
All right, boys, have fun with your chicken.
Chicken!
Chicken!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.